This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Empowering Motherhood Radio. I'm Tara Darlington and I'm here to shine the light for your journey. Today, as part of the Mum's Toolbox, we're going to talk about naturopathy, another amazing tool for you to use to help really take control of your family's health and creating the life that you want. And we have today Diana Mund, who's been my family's naturopath for many years now and has worked with a lot of my clients. We're going to talk about what naturopathy is, how you can use it, and really get to know what it's like to go to see a naturopath and all the different areas that they can help you. So welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you, Tara.
I'm reading off your website that beautiful quote, "All mankind needs for good health and healing is provided by nature. The challenge for science is to find it." So tell us a little bit about that, how we are using nature to bring about healing in the body.
Yeah, well, really, nature itself is our teacher. And the plants that we use in herbal medicine and nutritional supplements and our food being our medicine is what heals the body. And the bottom line of all of this is that our body is made up of the elements. And like I originally came from a nursing environment and research environment, so I had to learn to think differently, getting out of Western medicine into naturopathy. And the main reason why it's better to have natural products is because our bodies are made up of those elements, and that anything that's synthetic made in a laboratory, yes, it will have a chemical reaction in the body, but it can't be broken down completely. So there's always a chemical metabolite left behind. But if we use things that are grown in nature, they can be completely broken down and absorbed, and there's no side effects like with chemical metabolites left behind. They're stored in a part of the body that's frequency specific to that metabolite that's left behind. So hence, things that are grown in nature are supportive. But as we know, nature has its deadly nightshades too, so you need the knowledge to prescribe and how to blend things together. Even with natural products, they can. Socrates was poisoned with hemlock, wasn't he? So, you know, some of them can be deadly as well. So it's having the knowledge of how to use these wonderful things that nature provides for us.
Yeah, and what? Tell us about the form, because mostly, one of the main forms that herbal medicine is given is in a liquid. So tell us a little bit about, you know, that sort of tincture or concoction that you'll get from you or from another naturopath. What is that extract that you're getting?
Yeah, well, in naturopathy, really the basis of naturopathy for healing is herbal medicine for restoring and clearing you can have all different types of herbs. You can have the dried herbs, you can have the tinctures, you can have the extracts, which are extracted through alcohol, which for me is the best way to extract the herbs when they're being processed, because you get the full ash and the full component of the herb extracting in that way. And in my practice, I've always drop dosed. So you give a small amount over a full person's blood cycle, which is 12 weeks, and you get amazing results in that way. And I've been practicing like that for 17 plus years now. You can give dried herbs as well. You can give herbs that are in other things to preserve them. But the best way I've found where they're kept in their highest concentrate or their highest activity is to be extracted from alcohol. And it's only a very small amount when the person has the remedy and it's mixed with a little bit of water anyway. But I prefer to use the extract, which is one part herb to one part water. That's a lot stronger than a tincture. A tincture can be one part herb to four or five parts water. So, and I'm really careful about where I buy from and who I buy from in my...
Yeah, the quality.
Absolutely, because you want the best results. And the art of blending them is, you know, it's just so... They're so wonderful to work with. They speak to you. And fantastic for you know, preparing the women for delivery. And being a midwife too, I have a passion for birthing naturally, and we use the herbs postpartum too, as well, as you know, Tara, help balance the hormones, strengthen that pelvic floor. It's just a joy working with the herbs. They become alive to you after a while. They speak to you.
I bet they do. There's quite a range of, it's almost limitless, the different, because as you say on your website as well, you're treating the person. So in that respect, there's, you know, as many people as there are, as many combination of remedies that they are. I just want to go back a little bit to the blood cycle thing. Can you explain a little bit more about what that actually is, and how you work, you know, how those herbs work with, or the remedies work with that blood cycle?
Yeah, well, I work traditionally, so which is over that blood cycle, which is the life and death of your red blood cells. So when you first start treating someone, you know, in 12 weeks' time, which is the length of that blood cycle, where there'll be new red blood cells born out of that bone marrow, that red blood cell being, that new one being birthed, will have a whole different energy, will carry different frequencies because of the effect of the treatment. So I see people halfway through that blood cycle again, which is a six-week period, and we photograph the iris. So the iris, and I also do the sclerology, look at the white part of the eye, the sclerus, and that's our guide, and the tongue as well, also sometimes the live blood. But on the dark field microscopy, we use all different modalities to help us fine-tune the herbal formula and the nutritional compounds that they may need as well. And we adjust it along the way. I say to people, it's like when they fire a rocket up to the moon. It just doesn't get there by itself. You adjust it along the way for it to reach its target. And a bit the same with the herbal formula. You adjust it along the way according, because everyone, as you just mentioned, is different. So every treatment's different. Every formula that we put together in one tonic, there could be somewhere 7 to 8 herbs. We sometimes use triggered dose herbs, which is 24 drops in 100 mils. And the bark flowers, of course. I couldn't work without those, or some of the bush essences. And we adjust that along the way so that at 12 weeks, the changes are phenomenal. I even had a lady last night, only halfway through her cycle, who had very high blood pressure, and it's gone back to normal within 6 weeks just through herbal medicine. The doctor that she went to believed that her blood pressure had gone down, because she just wanted to medicate her on. The right formulas really work, and you become, it's an art of putting those together, and you just become better at, like an artist painting a picture. The more you work with it, the better you get, and you watch that body, the whole, they come in looking brighter, their aura's clearer, and you see the change in the iris, the change in the whole body at the end of that blood cycle. There's no quick fix, no point in giving huge doses. I dose low over that blood cycle and you get a lot better results. And there'll always be a little bit of a healing thing happening that first 6 weeks, because you've got those toxins and rubbish coming out of the tissues into the lymphatic system and into the bloodstream, and the immune can go down if you try and do that too quickly. So working slowly over that 12-week phase is certainly the best way to go. Otherwise, they can get quite headachy, sick, you know, if you try and do it all too quickly. So that's really important.
Yeah, so that's, so you're, like, there's some parts of the body or the system that you're strengthening, you're cleansing. You know, give us a bit of an idea of those different things that are happening when you're, you know, when you're working with someone. Like you said, you know, sometimes you're, you know, some sort of toxins are coming out. What are the sort of different areas that you look at with someone when you're working with them with the herbal remedy?
Yeah. Well, one of the main things when you're putting together a formula, like we say in iridology, the stomach's the throne of the body and the bowel's the servant. So you and the reason the stomach's the throne of the body is that everything we eat goes to the stomach first, and then it goes into the bowel. And if someone's stomach's not right for a start, or they've got a bowel issue, there's no way that person's health will improve. So you must make sure, you can see that from the iris very clearly, the health of the hydrochloric acid in the stomach. You can see that right away, and even from looking at their tongue, the state of their gut. So you must work there. You must drain the liver, because the liver's got 14 functions. It's such an important organ, and it can be regenerated. It's an amazing organ. And, of course, the nervous system, because every organ is supplied by nerves in the body. So the nervous system, the liver, the stomach, the bowel, that's got to all be in that formula. And then if there's anything specific, it could have been hormonal imbalances or repeated miscarriages or thyroid issues, breast cancer, like whatever it is, you do your basic things and cover those. And the philosophy is you treat the person and the problem goes away. So you're not treating the symptom, you're treating the person, that whole body. And that's holistic medicine, basically. And where it's different, you know, from Western medicine, where they're just treating that symptom. And it's miraculously the symptoms go away, and the body knows what it needs to do to heal itself. We've just got to support that. You know, the body is, you know, they say the biggest feat of engineering ever discovered on this planet is, you know this too, Tara, is the engineering of birth, of child coming through the vagina. That feat of engineering, there's nothing to compare with that. You know, the body knows what to do if it's given the right thing, environment to do that. So,
yeah, that's, you know, right.
The heart's beating 24 hours a day, no matter what we do. If it stops beating, we're out of here.
We are. So tell us more about the iridology.
Yeah, iridology is so amazing. It's like it's the biggest gift I think I've ever been given with my healing work. It's the iris, which is the coloured part of the eye, is the only part of the brain you can actually see. It's part of the brain stem. And it acts like a video recorder, recording impulses from the body. So basically when we're doing iridology, we're reading the recordings. But amazingly, it can also show inherited traits, which is pretty incredible. It can show the emotional, physical aspects of a person. Some people think I'm a clairvoyant at times by just reading their iris. I had a lady yesterday that I was looking at, and I said to her, you must have been dropped as a baby, because you could just tell by the shape of how the iris was sitting that she'd been dropped. And she said, how did you know? I said, yeah, my mother told me that dropped me out of my bassinet, and you could actually, that was still recorded on the iris. And,
what did that look like?
It was, instead of being symmetrical in shape, it was you could see on the side of the body that she was dropped, it was on the left iris, and it was just shaped right where she'd hit. You could see where she'd hit the floor, because you'd have got the head at the top of the iris and the feet at the bottom and the arms in the middle. And iridology was first discovered by a doctor, believe it or not, a German doctor who had a pet owl as a little boy. He was in, I don't know whether you've heard this, he was in bed, broken his leg. In those days, they kept them in bed for a long time when they had fractures. And he had a pet owl in his room, and the pet owl broke his wing. And you know how owls have the very big eyes? Well, in this owl's eye, right across where its wing was, there was a mark where the wing was broken. And as the owl's wing healed, the mark in the owl's eye started to stitch up and heal too. And he remembered that, and years later when he trained as a doctor, he started drawing patients' irises and the diseases they were carrying. So, you know, in Germany, iridology is used quite a lot more, but in America and Australia, it's considered, it's not considered authentic, but I couldn't work without it. It makes my work extremely accurate. And taking photographs, as you know, Tara, we compare before and after. And there's different ways of reading the iris. There's different studies. You've got your rayed way, and then you've got your traditional way. And after a while, you start to just read them intuitively when you've been doing it long enough. And I've been blessed having photographed them for 17 years. So I've learned a lot more than I was even taught through photographing everyone's eyes each visit. It's sclera shows, I say that the iris is like the sun, it shows the known, and the sclera is like the moon, it shows us the hidden. So if you see things in the sclera, it's
so that's the really, white part of your eye?
Yeah, the white part of the eye. They're things that you really need to investigate, because they show us what's not showing up physically often in the body. Or it's lovely to have the eyes to read. And,
It's fascinating. And just like the herbs, I imagine the more you do it, the more, you know, the better you become at it, because you'd just be learning as I am with teaching yoga or, you know, whatever you're doing, you're just learning with every single client.
Yeah, and it's a real gift, you know. I feel like I'm just so blessed to have that, to be working with it, and every day is new and something new I'm learning. You learn, I'm sure you do too with your work. You just, the clients teach you so much because everyone's so unique, the different insights that you receive, and that can then help the next person that you're working with. It's
interesting. It's awesome. I was just going to have a little break. I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other things you use to support your work, like the bark flower and bush flower remedy.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who is tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head, into the world, and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect ideal clients to your door and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, creator of Create Six Figure Courses Virtual Bootcamp. And I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching a profitable online course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot for this free training at www.createmyonlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createmyonlinecourse.com.
That's where you should bark. We'll work especially with the emotional body, helping to strengthen them. It doesn't take them out of the self. It actually strengthens them into the most positive aspect of their being. So where they may have been a bit weepy or depressed, it'll take them to the other side of the coin where they can then experience a lot more joy. Just because when there's been stress and illness in the body, the emotional body needs strengthening. Everything needs strengthening. Well, the bark flower is a wonderful but helping to strengthen you out of that aspect that's not serving you. I don't like to really call it a negative aspect because a negative positive, but it just strengthened you into the strongest part of your being, whether it's your persona, your emotional body, your mental body. So it might have been where you had repeated negative thoughts that just, you know, that monkey mind that never shuts up. Well, there's some specific remedies that just quieten that and strengthen it so that the real spirit of you can come through and the emotional body can just be a little bit quieter and just serve you as it's meant to, because often the emotional body tries to take over. And so with the bark flowers, it eases the mental body, it strengthens that, then that in turn will help the emotional body. So they're wonderful, and you get to know them inside out, upside down. You know what barks to give or what bush essences to give. Great for balancing hormones too, helping with, I mean, everybody would know about rescue remedy or the emergency bush flower ones. They are just wonderful. They can just make such a difference, and if there's trauma. And the rule with the rescue remedy is that you give everybody in the room a dose, not just the person who's needing, you know, the remedy. And you can
even
put
them on that,
and
with
you can even just put them on the crown.
One for you and one for me,
You can just put them on the crown, you know, chakra, on the head, if you can't get them under the tongue. Or even just on the pulse. Great at birth, as you know. You know, when
the baby's born. Yeah, they save a new baby. Yeah.
Absolutely. That and
I couldn't live without my flower. Yeah, I couldn't live without my flower remedies. It's a real, you know, something that I use all the time.
Such
just
to us. Yeah, they're wonderful, and it's great. With each tonic that I make up, there's up to, we can put up to 6 to 7 remedies, but you know, bark or bushes in each tonic, depending on what needs to be worked on. And I'll tell you what, they are incredible. How they work, and they work quickly. That's the reason why phenomenal.
And I think that's what all little 4 and 5 year old children, especially girls, they practice making them, don't they, out in the back with their mud pies, collecting flowers and mixing them in water. My girls are my girls are always making. They've got a little ensuite off their bedroom, and the only thing that happens in there is little potion making with flower petals, and you know, they're constantly making little sprays.
So that's very healing, working with them, just touching them and being it. And that when they harvest, you know, when they harvest botanical flowers for these remedies, it's done at a certain time of the day, and so they're done very precisely, and they're treasured. And you know, William Bark, he used to walk barefoot through the moors of Scotland collecting them, and they thought mad, and I think they tried to deregister him. I think he was originally a forensic doctor, but he'd studied with the Germans because the Germans were right into homeopathy, and he he would just sometimes heal cancer with one bark flower. I mean, some of the stories,
the right one,
that you can see about his work. And I just love working with the flower essences. They're a gift. They really are.
I remember even being at the hospital with, you know, one of my children, and just looking around and going, oh, I think half of these children could go home if someone came around and gave out the right flower remedies. You know, it really does just have that very, they're subtle, but they can be really, really effective, and you can really... they're quite amazing for, you know, how simple they are in one respect, that they can have such a profound effect in that simplicity. And tell us about...
Go on. I was just knowing, when I was saying we were taught, don't counsel, give the essences. No, give the sparks, don't counsel, because let them do the work and bring them into the positive aspect of being, and... And their inner knowing will know what to do. So that flower essences really support that inner knowing within the person.
Which is really important. Now, something that's so that's, you know, going from the old to the new. Tell us about your new frontier, I guess, MTHFR testing and what that is, because that's really becoming more and more intricate to your work,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm. It is. And like we're in our clinic, I've been mentoring a lot of students the last couple of years, and we're doing a lot of research work into MTHFR, the polymorphisms or SNPs. And we've been treating them now consistently for over a year, people with these issues. And all it is that the genes have morphed, so they call them polymorphisms. I mean, there's loads of them, but this particular way of morphing really affects the health big time, because there's seven different ways the liver detoxes, the pathways, and one of those pathways is the methylation pathway. And
yep.
if there's a SNP or a polymorphism there, it means that the body, depending which gene this is on, affecting, the body can't break down toxic substances as well as anyone that's got the normal way of clearing, of methylating. So mm-hmm. there's certain nutritional compounds that we give to help them do this. And like, because I, being a seeing quite a few as a midwife, I see quite a few infertile women and or women mm-hmm. with repeated carriages. And often if you do the blood tests, we can also test MTHFR with saliva. It's very inexpensive test as well. It's not expensive, like some of the genetic testing is expensive, but just your plain MTHFR costs in Australia anywhere from $50 to $60 to $120. So, but very
right.
worthwhile. You often find that women have had these repeated miscarriages. It makes their blood thicker if it's on that gene. And as soon as you start methylating them and giving them the right nutritional compounds, they'll sustain that pregnancy. It's where, because if that blood's too thick, the placenta can't get the right nutrition. So, of course, that pregnancy is not sustainable. And that's on one aspect of one of the genes that can be affected. And on the other gene, you've got, my father had dementia, so I had a lot, you know, strong interest in this. And I've always said there's a reason for dementia. And that's also migraines, polymyalgia, schizophrenia, a lot of the mental problems and whatever issues is another gene that gets affected. And as soon as that's where there's increased excitotoxins and increased ammonia. And ammonia is a toxic gas. No wonder dementia happens later on in life, because you've got that brain's been exposed to these toxic compounds all its life, and it gets to a stage when the body slows down that you'll get a lot worse breaking down in the brain with these excess excitotoxins and gas and ammonia gas. And there's also less nitrous oxide to relax everything, so these people are a lot more anxious. So as soon as you start treating them with the right compounds, depending what, like the treatment varies depending whether they're homozygous or heterozygous. Heterozygous meaning that it's from one parent, homozygous that it's from both parents, to what treatment you give, and also what they're presenting with to you, their other issues. So where the difference in people's health after treating these people is just phenomenal. And their serotonin's increased as well, their feel-good hormones, so depression goes, headaches go, pregnancies are sustainable. And it's only a very new area, really. It's a fairly new discovery, but I think that this is probably one of the most important things I've seen in all my years. From my nursing years to now, it's ranged over 40 years that I've ever come across.
Yeah, right. So is it something that was always there and now you've discovered it, or is it something that due to our lifestyle and our, you know, health over the last sort of 50 years or whatever, that it's becoming more common in people? So is it something that was always there and now we're discovering it, or is it something that is has become more common for lifestyle reasons or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can be born with these, you can inherit them, because with the 12 strands of DNA, you've got 6 from the mother and 6 from the father. So that can go back, as in the Rayed birth order work, that can go back 6 generations, 6 grandparents back on both sides. And and when something morphs, an environmental change can influence that. It could have been the grandfather or grandmother being exposed to nerve gas in the war. It can be environmental. It could be disease. It's like they're still finding out more about it. But and whether some of the men at war were in Vietnam exposed to Agent Orange. You wouldn't know until there's been studies done before and after what's actually created these, but they do know that environmental issues can affect the DNA. We now know that you can change your DNA. So I've had clients saying to me, well, could I change this? Well, we now know from the book The Brain That Changes Itself and all the research that's been done in neuroplasticity that this is possible. So if it's morphed one way, we can morph it the other way. So, I always say there are all possibilities, but it's exciting work. The best thing is to see the changes in people's health when you start. And, of course, you've got to eat organically as much as possible because you're already exposed internally to more toxins. So it's really important for these people to have a really good diet and eat organically wherever possible, especially with you've got your clean 15 and your dirty dozen that they do every year, the foods that are sprayed the most and the foods that are clean.
Yep.
It's important to know what foods are more contaminated, especially for people with MTHFR issues.
Right, yeah. Eating clean.
Yeah.
So some of the other things you've got listed here around the MTHFR that you haven't mentioned yet are learning difficulties, ADD, ADHD, autism, and inflammation. And they're really becoming chronic, aren't they? So,
Yeah, a lot of our I treat a lot of children with a so-called ADD, whatever, and each one that I test, sure enough, it's a marker. And, this is why the work, I'm keeping records on every one of these. So it's great to be involved in this. It's quite exciting, really.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It sounds like the frontier of medicine at the moment, or at least naturopathy, if not more.
Part of it, yeah. And it just because giving medication, chemical medication, would only add to the burden and cause problems later on, for that small child. So, the ability to concentrate when those excitotoxins are out too, you can imagine. No wonder they can't concentrate.
No wonder.
And people feel authenticated once they realise what's going on and they feel more understood. And because there's always an inkling that something wasn't quite right. And once they start to relax when they've got rid of the toxins in their system, that like the compounds that they aren't breaking down, they just feel so much better and more relaxed and less anxious too. So a lot of the
there's so much anxiety around at the moment.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people that have been prescribed the SSRIs antidepressants, and sure enough, you test them, they've all got that gene, and some of them are homozygous on that. And as soon because they don't want to take the antidepressants, so that's made major changes to their life when they start methylating.
Yeah, so the antidepressants are often contributing to more toxins and more work for the body.
They are, because the body, they will have an effect on the serotonin, the SSRIs, but there's still a payoff for that in the body because it's chemically interfering with the brain, and the brain's already got an extra load, especially if it's an MTHFR issue. It's like...
Interesting. It's great. Very interesting indeed. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's really exciting. We're just going to take another break and I want to talk specifically around the work that you do with women with pregnancy and birth and postnatal recovery.
Yep.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who is tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head, into the world, and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect ideal clients to your door and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, creator of Create Six Figure Courses Virtual Bootcamp, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching a profitable online course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot for this free training at www.createmyonlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createmyonlinecourse.com.
So we're here with Diana Mund talking about all sorts of things, actually. There's such a wide range of things to cover. But what I want to talk about now is using naturopathy to support a woman and her body through pregnancy, through birth, and through postnatal recovery. And I'm putting together a 7 Secrets of Childbirth online program at the moment, and, you know, bringing our health to its absolute maximum and using our nutrition and herbs and natural remedies to bring our health up to, you know, bring our risks as low as possible and make our body ready for birth. And the postnatal period is definitely got to be one of those keys to childbirth. So tell us about, I mean, you're a midwife as well, so tell us about how you support women through pregnancy, birth, and postnatal period.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, I think the most important thing to me with birth is to see it as a celebration, not as a disease. So it's a way to start getting our mental body in the right frame work too, because these days, in Western medicine, it's seen as an emergency or as a disease that you need a doctor
That's right.
for. So birth is a natural process. The body knows what to do. I do support, like, if there's, like, I myself, as you know, Tara, had 2 home births, so were natural, and my first one was at 37 and my last one was at 44, but however, in the pregnancy...
Well, you beat me. My fifth one was 43 and a half. my fifth one was 43 and a half weeks. You're talking about, yeah, that the gestation. Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a time of patience.
Yeah, I was 37 when I had my first and 44 my last. And so my home birthing was that everything was normal, so I felt confident about going ahead with that. But also it was the way that I viewed it, that it was a celebration, not a disease, because it was interesting when I was pregnant how many people asked me who my doctor was. I said, I don't need a doctor, I'm not big. But obviously, if there had been complications, I would have birthed in a hospital where you get support. So, so I'd say to clients that I'm working with, if there is a problem, you know, that's what the system's for, use it. But so the aim is for that healthy pregnancy. I do, like, with the antenatal care, once the woman's pregnant, I then, because I give herbs for that to help the fertility, balance the hormones, strengthen everything, work a lot on the diet for the mother and the father in that preconception time, because the latest research has shown that the father's health for a few years before influence the baby's health, especially the baby as a toddler. So the sperm carries such important messages. So a lot of males thought that they'd leave it all up to the women to clean up whatever, but it's important that they don't carry their mobile phones in their pocket, right around their testes, that they're wearing the right underpants so that testy can hang, that they clean up their diet big time, as organic as much as possible. And especially with fish too, some seafood, knowing which seafood's high in the mercury, like swordfish and tuna, and really consulting a professional to be guided with the nutrition for preconception. And then I also use, Tara, raspberry leaf tea. It's a strengthener. There's a lot of misinformation on the internet about raspberry leaf tea, but it's one of the best fertility herbs you can use. But once they're pregnant, in that first trimester, it's just three times a week until they're into their third trimester at 28 weeks. Well, then we start it daily again. I always use very good nutritional natal supplements in preconception and in the pregnancy and postpartum while they're breastfeeding. You want optimal levels of nutrition unless they're eating absolutely so well organically, whatever. The pregnancy and the will be so much more able to support like the mother and that baby when nutritionally they're getting the optimal levels.
And if women are deficient then in anywhere, then off-the-shelf vitamins aren't always enough, are they? Like there's an advantage of actually coming and finding out exactly what you need and how much you need and topping it up. So there are a lot of cheap supplements off the shelf that I think they even say on the packet that if you're deficient, this is, you know, not of any use to you, sort of thing.
Yeah, sure, that's a good point. And that they're not synthetic. Some of the pregnancy supplements that have synthetic things, and just you need the optimal levels. And research has shown this, and it supports the mother's energy too. And also things like blood sugar metabolism, because if there's diabetes sitting in the family history in the genome there, as you know, times of hormonal changes, those family patterns can be triggered. So, and we have wonderful homeopathic remedies too for the morning sickness, because as you know, when that gonotrophic hormone starts to get strong in that first trimester, you can get quite awful morning sickness that even puts the mother out of hyperemesis in bed vomiting. Formulas and nutritional care that we provide, and it's just guidance with how to do that. It's actually quite a good sign, as you know, that the gonotrophic hormone's high.
That's what everyone keeps telling you.
Yeah, and it's really important in that first trimester as that baby and the placenta, those major organs, the brainstem and things being formed, that the mother is supported in going within and allowing that to take place and not to be too active in that time and to be really careful with the diet, especially if she's had histories of other problems in the past too. So once that mother's pregnant, I stop the herbal medicine, but keep the supplements going, especially with a really good fish oil. It's been purified three times and nitrogen flushed, so it's not oxidised. That helps membranes of the red blood cells to travel better in the blood. It helps to stop the overfiring of the neurons, to help with mental focus, but always take it with the food. But good quality fish oils. They've just done a study a few months ago in New Zealand, and only three of the commercial fish oils were fit for human consumption. So they were full of heavy pesticides. So it's really important to have very good quality fish oil, because otherwise you're eating dirty, oxidised oil, which is, especially in pregnancy, last thing you want is heavy metals going, you know, the baby being exposed to that.
And so can you get, so you're looking for something organic, or if they're looking for some oils, if someone's looking for oils at the health food shop or something, are they looking for an organic one or the more expensive brands? Or
The more expensive, stronger brands, because you need less, that have been highly purified. More the practitioner label. Yeah, not your cheapo big tubs. Yeah. So that's important. And you know, with the morning sickness, that's small frequent meals, of course. And if they do get the cravings, to often as soon as you balance that pancreas just with sips of some herbal teas and things like that, like fennel tea and some of the chives and things like that, can really just help that pancreas and the sugar cravings that they'll often get. Or, you know, important to have the right salts too, you know, the Celtic salts or the Himalayan rock crystal salts. That's important.
Good quality salts, not the stuff off, you know, again, like the cheaper stuff isn't necessarily giving you the quality that you need.
Yeah. And the other thing, it's really important to clean up before the conception, because what research has shown that, you know, when women get albumin in their urine, protein in their urine, and their blood pressure goes up, it's where they really needed a good clean up before they conceived. So in the liver and the kidneys. So you can prevent that happening in pregnancy if you really do good preconception care. I see that a lot, and then I've had some women that have actually had that occur in one pregnancy, that I clean them up and really look after them and get them healthy, and then the next pregnancy they have a healthy pregnancy. So that's really important, and otherwise that could damage the kidney.
And you can help people as well if they start getting, start getting health problems, or, you know, things start presenting in their health when they're pregnant. Herbs can be great for that too.
When they're pregnant, I will give herbs, but obviously you've got to be very mindful and very careful what you give, and you give a lot smaller doses. So even immune stuff you can have in the pregnancy, but only if it's indicated. So I do see quite a lot of women need that, and it works very successfully and safely. I started, Tara, at the beginning of the third trimester, 28 weeks, and I give the antenatal herbs to prepare the uterus for delivery and to help the mother.
What way does it prepare the uterus? That's a big question that I always get from people.
It can soften the cervix and strengthen the uterus. But also the mother can get quite tired, as you know, as that baby gets bigger and bigger. So it helps her energy, and also the heart, and make sure the liver's draining well too in that formula. And strengthen the spinal plexuses. So there's lots of beautiful, you know, adrenal support. There's lots of beautiful herbs and things you can combine to do that. And to help us soften the cervix if we need to. If the baby's, you know, if the mother goes late, there's herbs I can use to help the cervix to dilate as well in that, you know, 40 weeks plus time, if that's not happening, as well as the acupuncture, as you know. So that's, as you know, we give the postpartum to help stop hormonal depression, strengthen that pelvic floor, and to help the mother's energy, and to help establish breast. And if there's any congestion, mastitis or things like that, there's wonderful nutritional compounds and herbs to stop that and to help the drainage.
I think it's one of the best things for, one of the best remedies for, the best modality for mastitis, definitely.
And usually I say, please keep off cow's milk, and that's one of the cow's milks for baby cows. It really is.
Yeah.
The longer
A lot of the girls really notice that, you know, they end up stopping the cow's milk, and that makes a big difference with the baby's health and things like that.
Yeah, and especially for those women that are prone to mastitis, they're the ones that usually the cow's milk's not, you know, doesn't integrate into their body at all. It creates a lot of mucus in the lymph, et cetera. So the other thing, thing for postpartum is balancing those hormones, because as that progesterone drops once that baby's born, you know, you can get that big drop of feeling so grand and wonderful. So we balance that out with her in the postpartum formula tonic, as well as strengthen that pelvic floor to help the involution of the uterus. And often I can give babies, make up babies herbs as well for colic, and look at the diet to what, you know, I'm sure you cover this with, so especially if they're breastfeeding for the baby, to help prevent the baby getting colic. And the other thing postpartum is when they're breastfeeding too, obviously you adjust the tonic because the baby's receiving some of that too. So we're very mindful of all of that and try and support breastfeeding where possible. And then the women, depending how long they're breastfeeding, once they've stopped breastfeeding, they'll often just come back and just get a tonic just to help their general health after finishing.
Yeah, a pick-me-up. A bit of a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get really run down looking after everybody else.
That's it. And there's some herbs I just don't use when they're breastfeeding that often they need. So I'll say, well, okay, we'll wait till you finish breastfeeding, come back and we'll work on that. There might be even, some kidney things or liver things that, you know, you don't use when they're breastfeeding. And nutritional compounds, like you guide them through the foods as well. And I think I've covered that all.
I think you have. Yeah, really the message is there's just so many ways in which naturopathy can support a woman through pregnancy and through the birth and the postnatal recovery for, you know, ultimate health and wellness for the mother and the baby. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for joining us. So your website is bellavistanaturaltherapies.com.au.
Yeah, and I'm actually a naturopathic herbalist. Not a naturopathic
herbalist.
Just the official title.
Naturopathic herbalist. Okay, naturopathic herbalist. And for people not in Sydney, I guess they'd be looking for their national or their state directory of, where do people go to find a herbalist or a naturopath or a naturopathic herbalist? How do they find, you know, someone that's well-trained in their area?
Yeah, word of mouth's really the best way, really. And I mean, you can check out the websites and just Google, you know, or look at natural therapies pages. But you can just ask around the mothers groups or whatever, because someone that works with herbs in depth. So if you've been given just a whole lot of supplements, you know, that's really good. Herbal medicine is. So I want someone making up a prescription of liquids just for you and knows how to blend them, has in-depth knowledge. The iridology obviously helps too, but you don't want to walk out. I get women in here with bags and bags of supplements, still no better, especially if you can get liquid herbs, someone to blend, it's cheaper for a start, and obviously it gets in faster and you can do more with less. And because the stomach can break down everything. They've got in-depth knowledge of herbal medicine, how to put formulas together. That would be the clue. But obviously word of mouth. Women usually in the local areas know someone that's had a bit of experience. What would you suggest, Tara?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, definitely for me it's, you know, when I'm looking for something for myself, even I look around the people that I say to the girls, think about, you know, someone who you think, oh, I want my family to be like their family, or look at that woman, she's so healthy, I wonder if she has a naturopath, you know. So you're looking and listening to people's stories, and people who have got someone great will always be happy to share their story and want to pass those details on. So I think word of mouth is definitely the most powerful, but it's good hint that you're looking for someone who does do, you know, the individualized herbal, you know, combinations, and that they can, you know, there's a few things that they can look for. But testimonials and personal reference, definitely.
That's true. Yeah, a lot of the websites have, like my website, you know, testimonials, and that's obviously a great guide.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to sign off now, and thank you so much for that. And
Enjoyed speaking with you, Tara. Thank you.
Thanks, Diana. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
This is the EWN Radio Network.